The reason that I stopped at when I did last time was because I felt like we could keep these two sections kind of together. Tonight we're going to pick up back in Revelation chapter 8. Now, reminder that next week we won't meet, but Evan's showing the Men of Honor conference. When we come back, that means you're going to be doing 10 and 11. So read ahead chapters 10 and 11. So we left off last time where there was a half an hour of silence in heaven, and we talked about that being a very significant transition. We're coming into that transition in verse 6, and really if you look at the outline here, we're going to look at the first six trumpets tonight. It goes from chapter 8, verse 6, all the way to chapter 9, verse 21, and there are six trumpets here that we're going to go through tonight. All of these, basically, at least 8 through 12, or 8 through 12, deal with judgments really against nature. And if we look at the first one in verses 8, in verse 6 through 7, we find that a violent storm takes place on the earth. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. So here you have the scene where the seven angels are ready to blow the trumpets. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. So here we note a couple of things. First of all, the appearance of this storm kind of resembles some of the plagues on Egypt. If you go back and particularly Exodus chapter 9, verses 23 to 24, you'll see some of these plagues play out. This storm comes with fire mixed with blood. A third of the earth is destroyed. So the aftermath is that a third of the vegetation will be destroyed. And it's going to be a horrific. But as bad as this is, it gets a lot worse. And so we see the appearance of this storm as a hail that looks like fire mixed with blood. And then the aftermath is that a third of the vegetation is destroyed. The second trumpet now, in verses 8 through 9, a mountain is thrown into the sea. We read there, the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain. And this word like is similar. So we're not sure if John actually sees a great mountain. And whenever you see the word like, it's similar to a mountain. Burning with fire, was thrown into a sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. So here, this appearance is like a burning mountain. Some type of atomic explosion takes place or something happens, but it has a huge effect upon the sea life. And we note in Exodus, and I went back and kind of looked at this too. You go back to Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 to 22, you see that the river was turned into blood. But the sea life is affected, which means that there's probably a shortage of food. So here you have two calamities, seemingly back to back, piggybacked, if you will, upon each other, and obviously the shipping industry is going to be crippled because it says here that a third of the ships were destroyed. So this is kind of a cataclysmic event that takes place, and then we go to the third trumpet in 10 through 11. And we see a great star falling from the sky. And we're reading those verses. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. Again, the similarities of what John's seen. It's like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and of the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood, which is in and of itself an interesting word, which means bitter, bitter taste. A third of the waters become wormwood, and many people died from the waters. There's not an exact list or exact number but many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. Here you have this huge meteor or meteorite or something that hits the earth. It has a huge effect on a third of the water system. And when you start getting rid of the third of the vegetation, you start getting rid of the third of the water, you start having major, major problems here on the earth. Particularly, you know, you've knocked out some of the shipping industry. It's crippled about a third of it. You can't get, the sea mammals have been greatly reduced. So you're starting to see here a calamity that we have never seen before. I mean, this is a catastrophic. This will also poison the water. Many will die because of it. And by the way, this wormwood is only mentioned here in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it is referred to in Jeremiah 9:15, Proverbs 5:4, Deuteronomy 29:18, and generally it always represents sorrow and bitter judgment. So it's easy to see that this third trumpet kind of ratchets up God's, if you will, God's attack upon the earth. And then you get to the fourth trumpet. I know we're moving rather fast here, but there's no other way to really hang with this except just to go quickly through it. And then in verse 12, we notice the fourth trumpet is the darkening of the sun and the stars in verse 12. Now, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of their light may be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Okay, there's several ways to interpret this. I'm going to give you three of the classical ways that scholars interpret this. First of all, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars may be a reference to an eclipse. That's one possible translation. A second translation or interpretation would be that there will be one third of a day completely blacked out. That means a third of a day would be gone. This would be in keeping with a third of the vegetation, a third of the sea animals, a third of the shipping. That is also a possible interpretation. And another one, which I also like, and I think all three could be right. I mean, it's very possible. The third and final possible interpretation, and there could be others, there will be no light for a third of the night. So those are possible interpretations, but at some point, it really becomes a very cataclysmic scene. We have here a very cataclysmic scene where stuff that has not happened ever in the history of the world is starting to happen. And so you would think if you were alive at that point and knowing all of the things that are going on, you would think something that God is bringing judgment. Where we end up in 921 is beyond me. How we even get there. But then, now, I'm going to stop there because I'm hooking 13. Well, we'll go ahead and read 13. Then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly over. Woe, woe, woe. And when you see a series of woes like that in Scripture, when something is repeated, it generally is something very severe. And we'll get into the first of the woes here. But in verse 13, we note two things about this eagle. First of all, he pronounces three woes upon the earth, which is not good. And the eagle is often a symbolized of judgment in the Scripture. So here we have this, what I would call the first woe. If you have your outline, I think I brought my outline here. You'll notice on this first outline, that fifth trumpet, with the plague of locusts begins the first woe. That will go through 9:12. And then the sixth trumpet, which is the second woe, is the release of the four angels. And that goes from 13 through 21. So we're going to cut there. All right, so we're going to continue now in chapter 9. We have 21 verses to finish, so we should get done right around 7 o'clock. Okay, chapter 9, we are in the fifth trumpet, if I'm correct. chapter 9. Actually, the fifth trumpet started in verse 13, but let's go to verse 1 now. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and he was given. Now here, okay, we'll go ahead and read it. I saw a star fall from heaven, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Okay, many people believe that this star is Satan. Notice the key is given to the abyss. And I guess at this particular point, you could apply the star to Satan because he opened the shaft. Notice verse 2, the abyss is open. He opened the shaft to the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. So actually, the Greek word interprets this bottomless pit to mean well of abyss. It's also the place, at least in the notes that I have, the place where demonic realm is kept in 2 Peter 2:4. It's also the place in Revelation 21-3, where Satan will be kept for 1,000 years. Now, what happens in verses 3-6, the locusts are released from that pit. Then the smoke rose and came the locusts on the earth, and they were given the power. They were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. Again, notice the word like, similar. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree. But those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, they were allowed to torment. And notice, the others seem to be successive and maybe a short period of time. But this angel trumpet, this trumpet, the fifth trumpet, is now going to be an extended period of time. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death, and they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. So the locusts come out in this smoke. The mission of the locusts is stated in verse 4. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant, but only those who do not have the seal. Now, I personally think this goes back to the sealing of the 144,000 in chapter 7, where they are protected from this portion of this calamity upon the earth. Now, the limitations are placed on the locusts in verse 5, that they can only hurt. They are only allowed to torment for 5 months, but they can't kill. So, in other words, these locust-looking things, whether they're demons or whatever you want to interpret them to be, they are going to be attacking humanity. We've seen that and I think this is probably the more severe of the ones because it continues for 5 months. The other ones, there's not a real specific time. It's just bam. But this one, it's like it's ratcheted up a little bit. They were a short period of time before, but now we're looking at 5 months. Now in 7-10, we're going to look at the locusts are described in detail. And first of all, we read verse 7, in appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. Again, notice the word like horses prepared on their heads. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold, like. So John's trying to make a connection here for the readers, and he's trying to compare it to something that he would understand. Their faces were like humans, like human faces. So these weren't horses like we know today. There's some other type of, he's describing this as they were like horses, but they had human faces. Their hair was like women's hair. And their teeth were like lion's teeth. So they had crowns on their head. Their faces were like men. Their hair was like women. They had teeth like a lion. probably could mean particularly the hair like women. Some scholars see this as a seduction, a seductive force. And when we get to 9:21, we see that there was still sexual immorality. The terrible teeth like a lion would mean some type of devastation. They wore breastplates. That means that they were probably indestructible or hard to beat. And I think we left off in verse 9 now. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And their nose was like, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots. And again, you have to take these likes really in context to see that he's trying to compare these to like what he would know to at least at that time. Many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They had tails and they sting like scorpions. And their power to hurt people for 5 months. Again, the emphasis on 5 months, which is a longer period of time and devastation. So anyway, here we have tails that were shaped like scorpions. I'm sure we're going to get many interpretations when I stop this section. And then they have a king now. They have a king over them. The angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And his Greek is Apollyon. And both of those, I went back and looked at this, both of them mean the same thing. It talks about a destroyer. So here you have this king that is seeking to destroy. You know, in Scripture, particularly, and I went back and looked at this, 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan appears as an angel of light. Can look beautiful. But here, I think that we're seeing probably Satan at his real, what his real appearance is, and it's horrific. So here you have a event where hell is opened up, the abyss is opened up, the locusts come out. They are allowed to torment humanity. Only those who have the seal on their that are sealed by God on their foreheads are protected. Everybody else is fair game. And again, I'd like to emphasize that I think that goes back to chapter 7 of the 144,000 that were sealed before this event took place. Now we get to the sixth trumpet, and the sixth trumpet's in verses 13, so we'll read verse 12. The first woe was past. Behold, two woes are still to come. So the first woe happened with the fifth trumpet, and now in the sixth trumpet comes the second woe. Something to keep in mind here is this is getting progressively worse. And you would think at this point people would wake up and realize, hey, this isn't normal. You would think. Anyway, in verse 13, the four angels are loosed. Some scholars see this as demonic angels. And they say the argument here, then the sixth angel blew. Now notice I did not say that. I just threw that into the discussion. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a loud voice from the four horns of the golden altar saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. I don't know of any place in Scripture where it talks about angels being bound. So some scholars believe that these are demonic that have been bound by the river Euphrates, and now they'll be used for destructive forces. So in verse 15, the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, and the month, and the year. That's very specific. So this was a specific time in which we've looked at last chapter. Most of last chapter was a third of the sun, a third of the sea, a third of the humanity. Now we're starting to get more specific. No dates are given, and we should be careful not to read too much into that. Now verse 16, The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000, and I heard their number. Now, I went back, and one scholar redid this and thinks it's 2 million troops exactly. Back in 1965, well, he says 200 million. I'm sorry, 200 million. See, that's that thing, Jason. Every once in a while, I'll boink on something. Oh, did you? Okay, then my wife heard it wrong, and she's wrong. Okay, so we have 200 million troops. Back in 1965, China, Red China, claimed to have 200 million troops, that you could march them into the sea, and some scholars began to attach these. I had to go back and find this. But anyway, you have this scene where there is a definite army marching. There is an army that is coming. It is organized. It is on an exact day, an exact month, an exact year. And I think that would be best left to God. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision. So John, getting back to I think what John said, he actually saw these. He's looking at this vision. And those who rode with them, they wore breastplates full of color of fire, sapphire, and sulfur. And the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur were coming out of their mouths. Now here is where some scholars interpret this to be modern weaponry. Because John is looking at this vision, and the only thing that he can compare it to is what he's used to seeing. And some scholars see this as modern technology that is being unleashed, that this is a war that's going on. And notice I said some scholars. Now we pick up verse 18. We're doing very well on time, so we should be really good here. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. So here you have now a third of mankind, even after